Well, again, good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. I do want to make a correction about the announcement about Gail. She's not coming home today, but we're hoping that she could be able to come home this week. They are weaning her off the ventilator today, and she's already breathing some on her own, so hoping they can pull that off tomorrow is the plan. But she is doing good. She's stable, and all the tests are coming back good in her favor. So, but thank you for your prayers and calls and text on behalf of Angela and the rest of the family. You know, I remember growing up on weekends, and I've mentioned this before in a lesson, I think, last year. During the summer and on the weekends, my job, my chore around the house was to pull weeds. For some reason, my dad thought it was a great idea, and I can talk about it because he's not here. It was a great idea to have a lot of flower beds, a lot of shrubbery beds. And so my job was to make sure that those flower beds, shrubbery beds, were weed free. You know, we couldn't have put down plastic when we planted them. No, we had to have a sun so we could pull the weeds, right? So that was my job. And I thought, well, it's not gonna be that bad. And so I remember when I first started doing that, it was a learning process for me. When I first started doing it, I would just kind of go through and skim through and just start pulling grass and weeds and everything else. And I'd just throw it everywhere. And Dad was like, stop, okay? Just stop. He says, you're not doing it right. You just can't grab the top of it and tear it off and that be it. And I'm thinking, why not? It's gone. Out of sight, out of mind, right? He says, that's not the way it works. You got to pull the whole thing up, roots and all. I was like, okay. So then I would go through and then I would shove the whole plant, the whole weed, pull it up, sling it out. And I thought, and I noticed there's a lot of dirt on those roots, right? You know, you teach them to shake them, get all the dirt off. But I would put in these huge piles. And my dad would wonder, why in the world is the pine straw and half the dirt missing out of the flower bed? Well, it's still attached to the root. It's in the yard now. My son has made these beautiful piles. I thought, well, Dad will be pleased with that. Well, he wasn't. And so he finally, it was his fault really, because he didn't show me the proper way, right? So he finally showed me, when you peel it up, you got to shake all that dirt off. And then you get rid of it. There's a proper way of doing that. Because if you pull the root up, you get rid of it all. You get rid of the weed. If you're just skimming the top of it, if you're just skimming the surface, well, guess what? You're not getting rid of that weed. In fact, it's just gonna grow back. And it's gonna be stronger. It's gonna be more vibrant. It is the root system in plants that give it stability. It is the roots that serve as an anchor. It is the roots that sustain life in the plant. They carry the water, the nutrients, the minerals, and all up to the plant and its branches. Yes, you normally, when you think about a big, beautiful tree, you don't think about, well, it's the root system that's causing that. You just look at a beautiful tree. I've noticed everybody and their mama is out looking at this sunflower field that's somewhere in Bradley County. Everybody's looking at it. And you notice the beauty of those sunflowers. Well, no one thinks about, hey, it's the roots that did that. Because without the proper root system, guess what? You're not going to have a field of beautiful sunflowers. The branches and the plant itself is only as healthy as its roots are strong. And that's the exact way it is with us Christians. Repeatedly in the Bible, over and over again, we read about verses about how the Christian family, about how we are a part or need to be a part of a healthy root system. We've talked a lot, as I mentioned in the call to worship, we've talked a lot about commitment. We are covering the idea of love very well, I believe, in our summer series. I look forward to next one, this next one this week. And so I kind of want to stay around that idea because I hope and I pray that it's already on our minds. And I know just in a couple of weeks, our kids are preparing to go back to school. I know some of you are going to be preparing to start college, a new chapter of your life, a new phase of your life for the very first time. I know some of you are starting school. Some of you have little ones that are starting school for the very first time, and you're nervous about it. And so my prayer is this year that it's going to be the best year yet. I really do. I pray this is the best year that you've had so far. And I know that parents, and I know all of us, we want that for our kids, amen? We want this to be the best year yet. But I also want them to be rooted. I also want them to be grounded in the right things. because we know how the world is. We know how the world treats us. We know how the world treats God and treats Christianity. And so I want our kids, I want all of us to be rooted and to be grounded in the right things. And so this series really is for all of us, but especially this one, because there are some fundamental things that we need to grasp before we get into the idea of being rooted and some concepts of being rooted. Next week, we're going to talk about truth. We're going to talk about the idea of what is truth. Is there a such thing as absolute truth? And we're going to look at that. But this morning, again, I want us to go through some fundamentals. In Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, we have the Sermon on the Mount. Really, Jesus is on a hillside, and he's talking to some disciples. He's talking to some people about what a Christian, he's explaining to them, this is what a Christian looks like. This is what a Christian acts like. This is what a Christian talks like. This is how they talk to one another, and this is what a Christian is. And towards the end of that sermon, Jesus makes one of the most interesting comparisons I think that Jesus ever made. And David did a fine job, so we're not going to go through and reread it again. But Jesus makes a comparison there of two builders. One is building on the rock and one is building on the sand. So you imagine two guys building, they're out building, and they're building on two different foundations, and yet the very same storm is going to come in. Some of you are familiar with this. Some of you are familiar with building. You're engineers, you're contractors. So you know that in order for a building to be healthy, in order for a building to last, to be firm, you've got to have a good foundation. Nobody in their right mind goes out and just looks at a piece of ground and scrapes the topsoil off and says, all right, we'll put it here. You have to run all these tests, and you put footers in, and you put foundations in, and you put pillars in to hold these buildings up to make sure that they last for years. But you look in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, and what we see are two different foundations with two different results. Now, I'm going to say this, a little side remark here. We all know people that have left the faith. We all know people that were once a part of the family of God, and because of something that happened in their life or something that was going on in their life, they decided that it was best for them that they abandon God, that they abandon the faith. And I want you to know there's so many lessons to be brought out from this text, but one of the most vital lessons, I think, and lessons that Jesus is teaching us here is that the reason they left wasn't because of the storm. The reason that people leave the faith is because of the roots. It's because of the foundation. Because again, you've got two different guys building on two different foundations, and guess what? The very same storm comes in and hits both of these buildings. And we see the one that lasts. We see the one that carries on. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8 says this, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." Two concepts, a house that is built and a tree that is planted. But here's the idea in Matthew chapter 7 and in Jeremiah chapter 7. Here's the idea. God wants you to be solid. God wants you to be firm in your faith. He wants you to be stable in your faith. He doesn't want your faith that when the storm comes, and it will, I promise you, some of you know what I'm talking about. The storms are going to come, and they're going to come at different times, and they're going to come at different sizes. But God wants your faith to be one that when the storm comes, that your tree doesn't just fall over and collapse. That when the storm comes, your house doesn't just crumble and go away. God wants your tree to be like one of those redwoods. You ever notice why one of those redwoods just doesn't fall over? You would think this huge tree, if the wind catches it, it's gone. What's interesting about the redwoods is the roots aren't very deep at all, maybe 5 or 6 foot deep. But do you know they go out hundreds of feet? And not only do they just go out, but they go in and they interlock with the trees around them. So you can't knock one over. You got to knock the whole forest over. And God says, I want your faith to be like that. I want your faith to be like one of these buildings, that pillars, they go in 70 or 80 feet, right, Chris? They want those footings to be deep and to be solid and to be firm, that no matter what comes, it's going to stand still. And it's not going to move. It's interesting, you start looking at the Jewish culture. Trees were very symbolic of sustainable life that would nurture your life. This is one of the reasons I think you look throughout Scripture and you see a lot of, especially in the lives in the days of Jesus, you see a lot of implication towards trees and trees being mentioned and roots being mentioned just dozens of times from the Garden of Eden to the cross of Jesus Christ. It's mentioned over and over again. And we're going to look at those things in the weeks to come. But what is so commonly overlooked in our lives is what's underneath. Because let me tell you what we do. And I say we because I do it too. We're so focused on what's above. We're so focused on what Ryan looks like, how others see Ryan, how others perceive that Ryan is, that we fail to look at what's going on underneath. We're so worried about the outside and what people can see that we forget and we fail to strengthen or pay any attention to what's going on underneath. Am I right? I know I'm right. We're so focused on what's happening right now, we forget about what's happening underneath. We look at someone and say, man, they got it together. Look at him. Look how sharp he looks today. Look how good he looks. Look, he even brought his Bible. Wow, that's a Christian right there. Well, look at her. She's dressed so nicely, her hair and her makeup. She just looks beautiful. Man, she's got it all together. Well, look at that couple. They're so lovely together. Look at them. I have never seen them fight. Have you? Oh, they must have the perfect marriage. Oh, look at their kids. Oh, just beautiful. I never see them running in church. Show me one of those kids, by the way. I never see them acting up or getting loud in worship. They sit there so, man, that's just a perfect family, right? They've got it going on. It just doesn't get any better than that. They're perfect. Look underneath. I promise you, look underneath. You'll see problems. You'll see instability. You'll see a faith that struggles. We need to be determined, friends, to root ourselves better or deeper in the faith system. We never need to minimize about what we're doing here this morning. We never need to minimize or take for granted the faith that we have, take for granted the family that we're a part of. I think we've talked about that a lot lately in terms of commitment. Let me share with you four things, and then I'm going to share with you a scripture, and then we'll close. Four things that I pray that will help you to be better rooted. And again, some encouragement from Scripture. Number one, you need to be rooted in Christ. And again, we're going to really expand on these things in the weeks to come. But I want to share with you this morning that your relationship with God, your relationship with Christ, isn't just one among many. It is the relationship. This is first. This is the one that you must be rooted in above all else. And this relationship that you have with Christ is not one to be taken lightly. It is not one to be taken for granted. And you know that. I know that. It's one of the reasons why you're here this morning. It's because you love God. You love His family. You love what He's done for you. You want that relationship that you have with Him to mean something in your life. And I'm thankful for that. I commend you for that. But make sure you don't minimize it Monday through Saturday. Make sure you just don't put it on a pedestal on Sunday, and the rest of the week it's down here. Number two, be rooted in His Word. Some people read tons of the Bible. Some of you are daily Bible readers. Some of you share that with me, and some of you read bits and pieces, and you study certain bits and pieces. And I'm going to tell you, regardless of how you do it, once again, as Nike says it, just do it. Just do it. Just read it. Just study it. I don't care how much of it a day you're doing it, just do it. Nothing is more important than your life than God's Word. Amen? Nothing is more important than that. Because His Word is active, His Word is living. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. When you read God's Word, I promise you, it's going to change you. It's going to change you. Number three, be rooted in your church family. We've talked about church a lot lately. We've talked about our family here a lot lately. Can I encourage you one more time, if you're not involved, to get involved? As I mentioned a moment ago, that these redwood trees in the forest, one day I hope to see them, but you know, something I've learned when looking at roots and different trees and just really how they grow, you know, it's amazing how they don't grow deep at all. You think a big tree like that is going to have this huge taproot that's just going to go down hundreds of feet. It's the span. It's the locking in with the other roots. It's the grabbing hold of the other trees. So they're interlocked with one another. You see, it's easy to blow one tree down. A lot of you have dealt with this in storms in the past, especially in the tornadoes, I think, of 2011. You dealt with that. You deal with a lot of trees that have fallen over, and you look underneath, and there's really not that much of a root system. And so it's amazing to think these huge redwood trees don't have this big root system, except when they span out, they lock in with other people. Listen, when you're blowing down one tree, it's easy. But when you blow down a whole forest, that's more challenging, right? And so what I want to encourage you to do is become a part of this forest. Become a part of it. I think you see the point I'm getting at there. And finally, be rooted in the ongoing development of your character. This is personal growth. This is that personal faith. This is the God and Ryan time. This is Ryan having a relationship, a personal relationship with God. Again, we're going to dive into these over the next few weeks, and I pray, again, this series is going to be beneficial to you. But I want to close in asking this question. How is your root system? Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I want us to read some text together. Again, we'll close. Matthew chapter 13. We know this parable as the parable of the soils. Starting in verse 3, Matthew chapter 13. He told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them." Okay? There's the first seed. The other seed, this is the second one, fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. They had no root. They withered away. All right, so we have some other seeds. They fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and they choked them. And we have some other seeds. And this seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So Jesus offers this illustration of a farmer, which is perfect during that time, because this is something they all related to. A lot of farmers in that day. So Jesus is speaking in agricultural terms, and he says this man's walking along, and he's got this bag of grain, and he's just dipping his hand in there, and he's just slinging it out. Now look, and he's going to explain this parable starting in verse 18. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom," and this is the first seed, "and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word. He immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself. So it never takes hold of his life." It's only a visual effect there. "But he has no root in himself, and he endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises on the account of the word, immediately he falls away." Going back, remember those two foundations? It looks good, but when the storm comes, he doesn't last. "As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And he said it proves to be unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. So many lessons to be taken from this parable. But one I want us to see, one that just jumps out at me, is that a plant with shallow roots is going to wither away. A plant with shallow roots is going to wither away. It's just a matter of time. Without spiritual roots, a person can exhibit interest in a truth for a little while, but yet when the going gets tough, they're gone. When the going gets tough, their faith caves in. Their faith struggles. So the question I have again for you this morning, what are you rooted to? What are you rooted to? And the reason this is such a critical and important question is because what's up above comes after what's down below. You see, the seed comes first, the roots come first. Your faith is dependent on the depth of your roots. God's ultimate purpose in your life is for you to be a part of His root system, of His family. And that starts by being baptized into Jesus Christ, where the blood of Christ washes away all of your sin, where you contact the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that this morning, I want to ask you, why haven't you? You know, what are you waiting on? That's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And so I encourage you, if you haven't yet made that decision, do that this morning. But for many of us, we've already done that, right? But let me ask you again, how are the roots that you planted? Are they the right ones? Has your root system become shallow because your faith has become weak? Are you feeding off the right stuff? We would love nothing more than to pray with you and encourage you. Let's all stand real quick, and I want us to read in closing, and then Paul can lead us in a song for our encouragement. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Let's read this together. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And watch this. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Paul.